How did you get roped into the making of the documentary, They Will Endure?
I was contacted by the Polk County Historical Society to do an oral history with a county historian by the name of Mildred McCormick. At the time of the phone call, Mildred was recovering from a hospital stay, and they were, I think, naturally concerned that, you know, now's the time to get this interview, morbidly as it sounds, but it was true, that now's the time for us to talk to her and to extract whatever we can in regard to the history of the county in a conversational way from her. And so in that regard, then, I was put in touch with Mildred's niece, Gail Barger Lanham. And I met with Gail. They had already started some video project of that sort where they would collect her oral history. And I then got involved because I was doing another video for the Golconda City Cemetery Board. So it's through that process that we decided to pursue some sort of interview or oral history with Mildred. But unfortunately, she died in November of 2011. So at that point, the Mildred McCormick's family decided to organize her papers and her files to preserve them for the future. And that was a wonderful decision because so many families of the local historians will just throw a lot of stuff away. But this family, along with the Polk County Historical Society, went ahead and had her papers organized, and then they hired me to do that. We spent, like, I think a total of 40 hours going through a four-drawer file cabinet in her office and basically refiling, relabeling, organizing. And then we created an inventory of what she had. And then we went downstairs and scanned 22 photo albums. She had started back in the 70s, I think, a series of photo albums about Polk County history. We scanned all of those and preserved those. And so that was how I got started. And then it was from there just a very natural process to move it into a documentary that was basically inspired by Mildred McCormick and her work because she was the one person in Polk County who basically told the story of Polk County and made it a compelling story, one that, in my opinion, was a natural for video, although, quite frankly, I don't think video can do it justice, you know, to the same degree that Mildred could. We developed a game plan that was going to end with a relatively expensive video. We were going to pursue grants. We had all of this mapped out. We had a budget that was pretty big. But in the end, it occurred to us that nothing was going to happen quickly in that way. And they really wanted to get it done. They have their bicentennial coming up in 2016. So the plan was, let's just pursue it as is. Let's knock down the budget a little bit, and then we will pay for it ourselves. That's what the Historical Society did. And then we also did a bunch of fundraisers, thanks to Gail, to pay for it. And so then we decided to pursue it, and this is the end result. It's a 54-minute documentary, and I think the best way to describe it is it's a very general history of Polk County, and it combines both historical facts and information with historians and nostalgia, because we interviewed 25 local people, and then we talked to some historians and mixed it all together and tried to create a chronology of the history, starting with the settlement period on up through the flood of 1937, which is where it stops. I think the golden era for Golconda would include 1870 to probably the 1890, 1920 era in there. But westward expansion was the reason why it was there, because of the ferry crossing at Golconda that was established in 1798 by James Lusk, who was a Revolutionary War officer. And he and a group of 25 people moved from the East Coast to Livingston County, Kentucky. He was a businessman, and they recognized the opportunity. People still needed to cross the river, and they needed a ferry crossing, and that was a great place to put one. There were other ferry crossings on the river, but if you look at a topography, a map of Kentucky, Livingston County, you see the hills that lead directly to the Ohio River from Salem, and it's just a natural way for people to travel, and then it brings you right out to that point in the Ohio River, where directly across is, of course, the future or the present-day Golconda. So the Lusks established their ferry house, as they call it, or their tavern house. From there, Lusk then built a road that crossed overland through southern Illinois and then came out on the Mississippi. Once the road was built, people had a reason to stop there because the overland route was much preferable to going downriver on the Ohio and then upriver on the Mississippi. It was far better to cross overland and safer, easier, quicker. And if you had to go upriver, you went upriver just a little bit, maybe to St. Louis, and then got on the Missouri River, and you could go even further west. Then James Lusk dies in 1803. Sarah, for 18 months, operates the ferry crossing. She has that pioneer story, you know, that grit and determination to maintain that ferry crossing and keep her family supported and taken care of through that business. After 18 months or so, she marries Ferguson, and then he acquires her property because he's a man, and that's the way they did it in the frontier in those days. And then he later sells the ferry crossing. And so it's a real interesting period of time, but, you know, these folks were pretty much Kentuckians. They had established themselves in Livingston County. They were property owners and they were office holders in Livingston County. Their names are mentioned all throughout the records. In fact, that relationship between Illinois and Kentucky was a suggestion, you know, that there was a geographical boundary there, a political boundary. There really wasn't in their minds. They were one the same. And we talk about that a little bit because Kentucky was a slave state and Illinois was not. But you had slaveholders, and Ferguson, Thomas Ferguson, was one of those slaveholders. He actually sold slaves in Polk County and recorded those transactions in the county records. Illegal, but there was indentured servitude was permitted back then. So you had these boundaries that were really just suggestions. And that is something that was lost much later when the levees and the flood control was put into place and the ferry was finally stopped. This relationship between that part of Illinois and Kentucky was gone, basically. And that's a lot of the old-timers talk about that, that, you know, you could come across the river from Kentucky and do your shopping and then go back across.
The levee, while important, it completely changed the nature of that town.
Absolutely. It changed it from a hub, a community driven by commerce, into basically what is the town of antique stores. And that whole commerce and business and so forth is pretty much gone. We talked to historians and so forth about those early days and the settlement period and how difficult it was for folks to buy land. There were so many obstacles in the purchase of land that it really didn't get better until probably about the 1850s. The government sold land at 12 and a half cents an acre. You could buy a 40-acre plot for $5. And according to one of our interviews, that was a bargain back then. And so every conceivable plot, every little space of land in Polk County was occupied, and it was farmed. And so during this era of prosperity, you had two dozen small towns that cropped up in the interior of Polk County. Many of them had a general store, a school, and multiple churches, blacksmith shop, you name it. Those were the prosperous years, and people would just go to town on Saturdays and go to the local general store and trade their products that they made for things that they needed and, you know, and couldn't raise on their own, like coffee and so forth. In 1890, the population in Polk County is 14,000. By 1920, the population has declined more than 20%. And that's as the fertility of the soil declined, the productivity went down, and a lot of folks just couldn't make a living anymore on the land. And many of them had basically farmed these forested soils. They had slicked off the ridgetops, and they had planted row crops in very shallow soil with very low nutrient value or nutrients that just weren't going to last after being, you know, farmed like that. So then that brings you into the early 20th century where folks just can't make a living anymore on a farm. And so they go north, and they start to migrate out of Polk County. And then in the 1930s, of course, the Depression hit. There was a horrible heat wave. And then in 1937 was the flood. So today the population of Polk County is about 4,000, which equals what it was in 1840. Hmm. So that's the arc of the story of Polk County.
Before I let you go, Rich, I want to acknowledge that while you have a voice which is rich of its own, I sense that you developed a special sort of respect for Mildred McCormick.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, she is a hero. She really is. Mildred McCormick is this lady who graduates from high school. She goes to work for a family in Golconda, taking care of their paralyzed son, Richard. He had been injured in a construction accident in the sophomore year of college, was wheelchair-bound. She goes to work for this family to help take care of him. Okay, so she's working for them, and then the father dies, and then the mother dies, and then at that point she marries Richard, and they're a couple. And she takes care of him for the rest of his life, which I think ended sometime in the early 1970s. Prior to that, in the 1960s, she and Richard went to the University of Illinois, where she got a degree in English. She then became a teacher, went back to Pope County, Golconda, taught there for a while, and then at some point retired from teaching, then went into business a little bit here and there. But then in the 1970s, she went and got a master's degree at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. And then from that point on, she becomes a writer, and she wrote a lot of historical accounts. She was very careful with her facts, and she could tell a story, which with a beginning, middle, and end, as Herb Russell, one of our interviews, says. And she was remarkable. But we have no idea how much this woman sacrificed her own life to take care of people around her, her husband, later her mother, who was, had a stroke and was bedridden for 12 years, and Mildred took care of her. So there's a backstory to Mildred that is just remarkable. And if you look at that community today, education is very important, but not everybody has an education that Mildred had, both personal and also professional in terms of her degrees from the university. A lot of folks just don't read books necessarily anymore these days, you know, but she did, and she was someone really focused on that, and that, I think, ultimately helped Pope County in, and because it preserved those stories.
Rich, thank you.
Take care.
You too.